what if you were told that you're going to live to the age of 200? Listen to the 200-year-old, a future-facing podcast based on leading science experts. As Sanlam turns 100, they are looking ahead to the future, as they should be. Visit the200yearold.co.za to listen, or you can find out more on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.
5 minutes before the 2007 Rugby World Cup was about to begin, my nerves were on edge. In the plush home of an icon was not where you typically watch a rugby event. But Nelson Mandela wanted to watch it with his grandkids, so he ordered them over. I was friends with a few of them, so I found myself sitting in a chair next to the couch he sat in. Draped around him were three of his small great-grandkids, with both of his feet crossed, elevated on the table between he and his TV. His smile consumed the room. My nerves were rattled because what do you do when there is a score? Surely you cannot high-five him. It must be off-limits. In fact, I was terrified to even make eye contact. The majority of his grandkids and other family friends went out back to a cottage to watch the match. I guess they were aware that the tension would restrict them. The few of us who remained in the room would glance at him and take cues about how to proceed. He and I shared the same table for our cups. He drank water, I drank iced tea. The match was riveting. When it became clear that South Africa would win, his longtime assistant, Zelda LaGrange, came to escort him to his room. Perhaps he knew this was his final World Cup, where he would experience South African winning. With his 100th birthday celebrations being celebrated throughout the world, I thought I would share this story and revisit an episode entitled Learning from Mandela. I'm recording this inside an airport while on a 7-city speaking tour. Thanks for understanding the background noise. Enjoy and find your inner Mandela.
This is CliffCentral.com.
This episode is about the brand Mandela and what each of us can learn from his personal positioning strategy. May his soul rest in peace. But let me tell you, buckle up. There's a lot you can learn from what this incredible man did to build his brand, but more importantly, to build his identity. You need not be a politician or have spent 27 years in prison to appreciate who and how he mastered people, relations, and became an active participant in his personal positioning. Some people just assume he just sort of woke up one day after he came out of prison, and because he spent so many years in prison, it was automatic that he was going to be this powerful, powerful person. It goes much deeper, and I appreciate you tuning in. Let's go. 1918 was an eventful and meaningful year. On November the 11th, World War I ended, and in August of the same year, Max Planck was awarded Nobel Prize in Physics for his work in quantum theory. During Planck's 60th birthday celebration, 4 months earlier, he was speaking about his friend and colleague Albert Einstein, who took to the podium and said, "The state of mind which enables a man to do work of this kind is akin to that of the religious worshiper or the lover. The daily effort come from no deliberate intention or program, but straight from the heart." Einstein at this time had no way of knowing that barely 3 months later, nearly 9,000 kilometers away in an Eastern Cape village in South Africa, a baby boy would be born who would emulate this precise philosophy. It was 94 years later. The world would celebrate the life of Rolly Hlahla Nelson Mandela. Over the past 12 years, I have written extensively about Nelson Mandela and the final chapter of his illustrious life. While his legacy is under scrutiny for not being a more vicious negotiator around economic parity, there are a few things that are unquestionable. The Nobel Prize-winning global icon understood how to use people to get what he wanted and drive development and funding. In 2008, I got a chance to meet Beyonce and sit next to her and share with her my book at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. So perhaps I'm a bit biased about his greatness, because anyone who provides a platform for me to sit next to Beyonce deserves a dedicated podcast. Beyonce, her husband, Jay-Z, his mom and sister were at his foundation to have lunch with Madiba. Prior to the lunch, a few of Madiba's grandchildren were allowed to have a photo op with Queen Bee herself and the hip-hop legend. Jay-Z was in town for a concert at the Dome. Both of the musical geniuses were dressed like they were attending a special occasion at church. Jay-Z had on a classic English cut plaid suit, brown checks, the epitome of class. Beyonce was wearing little to no makeup and a knee-length dress fit for a Sunday school teacher. There were about 10 or 12 of us allowed to take photos with them. I was there because of my close relationship with the grandchildren. My first book about branding, Thinking About You, The Brand You, was a year old and just so happened to mention both Jay-Z and Beyonce. So during the photo op, I signed the book for Beyonce and Jay-Z and thanked them for their contribution to personal branding. Beyonce was extremely humbled, as you would expect, and Jay was a bit more anxious, clearly more interested in lunch with Mandela. As the final photo was snapped, the grandchildren whisked away, Beyonce and Jay-Z were off to private lunch with the icon himself. But Jay's mom and his sister remained, and just like typical tourists, they wanted photos in and around the foundation. So I obliged them and took photos of his mom and his sister. After the lunch with Mandela, emerged with his billion-dollar smile with Beyonce and Jay-Z right next to him. There are many stories about how Mandela was able to make a phone call to world leaders, billionaire pals such as Richard Branson, and get them to invest in entrepreneurship ventures such as the Branson School of Entrepreneurship, or inspire people like Oprah to launch a girls' school outside of her own country. There are literally thousands of stories of people investing their wealth in South Africa and even across Africa and the entire world, actually, because of his influence. But you may be saying, yeah, but that's because he spent 27 years in prison and his story is just that compelling. Before you write off him as a smiling man with a good story, do listen further. When Madiba was 89 years old, brand strategists the world over had already considered Brand Mandela to be the most powerful personal brand in the world. Yet his distinction was not enough for the elder statesman to be content, which is why he personally asked his foundation for a rebranding to realign his brand with his deepest values. The chief executive at the time of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, Achmat Dangar, said that at Mandela's assistance, the organization will be working hard to break down the mythology around the man. Mythology is defined as a collective bodies of stories associated with a culture, institution, or person. I can imagine Madiba himself woke up one day, looked around and recognized that despite all the bridges, municipalities, and malls named after him, his real legacy of encouraging peaceful dialogue and debate could be totally lost if he didn't get involved. And this is key. This is a moment I really want you to sit with. An 89-year-old global icon asked for a rebranding. He physically said, I would like to not be known for someone who just takes photos with celebrities like Beyonce and Jay-Z and Naomi Campbell. But I want to be known specifically in this new internet age for someone who reached out for reconciliation. My question to you, is it possible you're known for something that does not align with where you're going, that is diametrically opposed, that is in the way for you moving forward? Is it possible that you need to rebrand yourself? I'm going to take you through a number of steps for you to consider. And I really hope you take this conversation serious. So many of us, our identity and our reputation grows into this sort of festering piece of pus that does not allow people to experience who we really are. Or it grows grand and fabulous, but fabulous in a way that does not align with who you are. I really hope that you're able to ask yourself some tough questions about your potential, your personal brand, and the link with your organization's brand. Many of you spend thousands of rands trying to perfect systems and processes and shoot yourself in the foot by not managing your personal reputation. Where would Virgin United be, or Virgin the brand, be if Richard Branson's personal brand were disastrous? I think Apple employees as well as shareholders would cringe at the thought of Apple minus Steve Jobs' fundamental influence. And would the world be the same if brand Bill Gates had been an irresponsible and uninspiring leader? We all know that South Africa would not be poised in position as the leader of Africa had Nelson Mandela not been the courageous voice of forgiveness. International business leader Tom Peters said, regardless of your age, regardless of your position, regardless of the business we happen to be in, all of us need to understand the importance of branding. He says, we are CEOs of our own companies, Me, Inc. And to be in business today, our most important job is to be head marketer for the brand called you. As the CEO of the brand Mandela, Madiba understood that even in the winter of his life, he couldn't afford to have his brand misunderstood. So let's explore the top seven aspects we can learn from brand Mandela and his life. Most of you aren't aware of the body of stories associated with your brand. The reality is that all of us exist in the minds of our stakeholders, and if you aren't careful, the perception of your existence could get lost in the agenda of other people. Let's talk branding Madiba style. The first thing was, know your purpose and mission in life. It's important to have talent, but it's more important to have a sense of direction and purpose. When your business starts to falter and all looks lost, a true sense of purpose will sustain you. I've had an episode that I dedicated to purpose. I'd like for you to go back and find that episode because I don't want to spend too much time imploring you to consider your purpose. But think about your intent. If you don't want to get so deep into it, what is your intent for doing what you want to do? If you want to be an influencer, why do you want to influence? If you just want to make money, you're going to be a weak influencer. What do you want to do? What do you want to shape? One of Madiba's massive calls was reconciliation, was bringing people together from different races. And I am all about thinking radically about things. But even in our radical thoughts, we have to consider the higher reaches of what it means and how people of all races and all backgrounds can benefit. Some people have to make sacrifices because of history and so forth. We get that. But we need to be inclusive when we think about it, or otherwise everyone loses. If you don't believe that, share with me an example in history where one group of people won and the other group lost, and it was peace and joy and happiness and growth. I'd love to hear it. Number two, be prepared to go to prison and pay the ultimate price for your purpose. It was clear. He said it on trial. It's something I'm prepared to die for, this cause of a new South Africa. And I think that in my work, for example, I can't imagine doing anything else except for exploring the vast potential of the brain and looking at how it impacts stories and narratives and brands. That's what I love. Any business idea worth its weight in gold will require you to pay a high price and sacrifice will always be necessary if you really want to obtain long-term success. If you're not willing to sacrifice for it, you're going to really struggle. And I want to stress to you just how important it is to lock in and focus on something that you're willing to sacrifice for, and you get great joy out of doing it. Madiba's sacrifice is part of what made him so great. But more importantly, it was knowing that this is what his life is about. Forgive even when it's not popular to do so. That's number three. Knowing when to let go of hurt and pain so that you don't carry the baggage of your past around is essential in the new multiracial society we live in. More importantly, as society is evolving and growing, forgiveness is going to be more key because we are interacting more. So there's more transaction. There's more opportunity for mistakes. There's more opportunities for blind spots and people to make dumb mistakes. So being able to forgive quickly and move forward. And you can channel the lessons. It's not about forgetting, but it's about channeling the lessons and understanding and enlightening people and figuring out how to promote enlightenment along the way. Number four, know when it's your time to step down and reinvent yourself. By developing a succession plan and mentoring the right people to run your organization, when you're gone, you'll be able to sleep at night knowing the vision you had, you worked so hard for to build, will not crash upon your retirement. This is something that I think, you know, you may be like, but he was old, that's why he stepped down. There's a lot of old people out there that are still running as president. You know who I'm talking about. Number five, be willing to undergo an image makeover. Go back and do a personal brand audit. Look at your image and decide, do I need to reinvent my image? Do I need to evolve my image? Do I need to edit my image? Madiba knew when it was necessary to put down his gun and pick up his pen to begin negotiations. Some of you need to put down your golf shirts and pick up your neckties and prepare yourself for serious business. Or maybe you need to take off your necktie and put on a t-shirt and a blazer and look like more of a creative. Or maybe you need to take off your blazer entirely and just put on a t-shirt and flops and a fit in and associate with the industry you're in. Whatever it is, consider the power of an adjustment. There was a great novelist who was a feminist. She had a short haircut, typical sort of lean frames. She was the epitome of a feminist, and her books weren't selling. She changed her entire image, and guess what happened? She evolved her image and she became a best-selling author. Is there a correlation there? She says it is. She says she released this old image of who she was and what people said she should be, her thoughts shifted and evolved. The ability for your image to impact how your brain sees itself is powerful. Number six, learn the art of networking. Madiba was smart enough to leverage his extraordinary brand to rally leaders, celebrities, and politicians to champion the causes he cared so deeply for. As a business leader, use your golfing partners to champion the matters, the deepest matters of your heart. As a business person, as an artist, a singer, a marketing exec, whatever you are, bring people together into spaces, let them engage you and connect with you so that this art of networking can become not only a part of who you are, but can become an asset to who you are. Finally, number seven, and perhaps greatest of all of his gifts and talents to help build his brand, was an internal thing called emotional mastery. In the year 2000, Nelson Mandela graced Oprah Winfrey Studios in Chicago. And just after midway through the interview, he revealed what I believe made him one of the greatest human beings to ever walk the earth. Oprah asked Madiba to elaborate on how he managed his emotions during the peace talks. And this is what he answered. He says, "Our emotions said the white majority is an enemy. We must never talk to them. But our brain said If you don't talk to these men, your country will go up in flames. And for many years to come, this country will be engulfed in rivers of blood. So we had to reconcile that conflict. And our talking to the enemy was a result of the domination of the brain over emotion. There was a striking pause, and then Oprah asked, "But wow, is there no bitterness?" And Madiba responds with one of the greatest lessons we all must learn. He said, "I hated oppression, and when I think about the past and the type of things they did, I feel angry. But you have a limited time to stay on earth. You must try and use that period for the purpose to transform your country into what you desire to be." When the interview ends, the tears in their eyes, the audience stood and honored what is perhaps the most powerful and important interview Oprah will ever engage. The ability to step in the middle of and control your personal conflict between your brain and your heart is a challenge we all face. When your emotions rage like a forest fire, who do you become? Personal branding is a fruitless conversation if you do not have the capacity to control yourself. You're going to get exposed to intense circumstances and intense things, and you will find yourself imploding, coming apart, coming undone, and not being able to rally the people around you to be able to drive the purpose that you're trying to drive. Nelson Mandela's latter image. I just want to highlight a couple points before we wrap up. His latter image, he didn't really have much control on some level. When you're 90 some years old and it doesn't really matter that's the shirt you're wearing, but I think in my mind, in my heart, it kind of feels like, you know, he sort of relaxed into this state of just being an icon. So he was able to put on a relaxed shirt. And sometimes we misinterpret that as all of us can just go out and do that. What I would say to you, and I think this is very important, is know your environment. If you're in serious business, you need to suit up, get serious about the business in whatever way suiting up means in your environment. The most important thing that I think we can learn beyond the emotional mastery is doing so with a smile. Very few photos, except for when he's engrossed in a thought or when he was angry at something, did you not see Madiba smiling? Your smile is like a logo to your personal brand. Strategically building networks and going through these seven steps methodically will take you very, very far. The technology you use to build your brand will evolve over time, but the one thing that will be constant is a need to know your purpose, the very need to forgive, know when it's time to step down, be willing to undergo an image makeover, learn the art of networking, and master your emotions. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Unbranded. I'm looking forward to your emails, your thoughts. Email me, info@timothymaurice.com. Thank you, Nelson Mandela. Rest in peace. We appreciate your example. And thanks for the opportunity to be able to study your brand. I got a chance to meet you a couple of times, and it's one of the greatest honors of my life. We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded.
This is CliffCentral.com.